Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for yet another day that you have made. Thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed me to live to see another day. Thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you, Lord God, for just keeping your people throughout the week. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us protected and shielded from hurt, harm, and danger. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing our going out and blessing our coming back in again. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, Lord God, from all the fiery darts of the wicked, that no weapon that he's formed prosper. Oh, Lord God, I just thank you and praise you, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can lift up your holy name and give you praise, Lord God, for all of the good things that you've done. All the things, Lord God, that you're doing right now, and all the things, Lord God, that you will do. Lord God, we honor you and bless your holy name. You are a magnificent and wonderful God who is worthy of the praise and worthy of the glory. And Lord God, I pray that you would have your way on today. Lord God, meet the needs of your people. Look on every single one of my brothers and sisters who are listening right now. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that you would move in a mighty way. And Lord God, move, Lord God, whatever mountains that's in the way, everything that comes to obstruct, everything that comes to hinder. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would bind it and cast it out in Jesus' name. And I pray and ask of you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you would have your way in the word, Lord God, and let somebody, Lord God, who's listening, leave encouraged, inspired, blessed, Lord God, and have a mind and a will, Lord God, to continue on this journey. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Who's listening? Amen. Thank God that you have tuned in. Amen. And I pray, praise God, that you would be encouraged on today. Amen. And that those who hear the word would glean something from it that will sustain you throughout the week. Amen. So with that, our scripture reading will be found today in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 17, 18. Then we're going to skip down to verse 26 through 28, and then skip down to verse 30 and 31. Amen. So I will begin reading the word of God in your hearing, beginning at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of the land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And the subject that we will speak on today is, you must have faith. Amen. Numbers chapter 13 is considered to be a memorable and disappointing chapter, which relates to the turning back of Israel from the borders of Canaan. Canaan was the promised land that God gave to Abraham's posterity, the children of Israel. What makes this chapter both memorable and disappointing is that they were at the cusp of receiving their blessing but failed to obtain it due to unbelief. The Lord brought the people to the edge of the promised land, and it would have only taken them 11 days to possess it. But their lack of faith ended up costing them dearly, because they were sentenced to 40 years of wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. The blessing that they could have obtained in 11 days, the Lord deliberately kept it out of their reach. In our lesson text, we hear Moses giving orders to 12 men, whom he sent as spies to search out the land of Canaan. They were to go to the land and then bring back a report regarding the fruitfulness of the land, the kind of people who live there, and also provide the layout of the cities, whether they dwelt in tents or in strongholds. By reason that Moses wanted specific details about the people and the layout of the cities was for the purpose of strategizing. Moses understood that the people had to prepare for war, because the Canaanites would not resign to give up their land. The Bible says that the men returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses, Aaron, and the entire congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They testified concerning the fruitfulness of the land, saying, Surely it flows with milk and honey. But when it came down to talking about the people and the layout of the cities, they said, Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. They went on to say, And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come from giants. And we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. Based on historical research, the Anakites were very tall people who were from 7 to 9 feet tall, and I'm sure that was a little intimidating. Now, considering the report that was given, it is true to say that it was credible, and they detailed exactly what they saw, but then they followed up with an evil report which struck fear and doubt in the hearts of the congregation. They said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. However, there were 2 of the 12 men that went out to spy out the land who were not on the same page as the other 10, and their names were Joshua and Caleb. Caleb did his best to calm the people and encourage them by saying, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Furthermore, Joshua and Caleb told the congregation not to fear the children of Anak. They said, For they are bread for us, and their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The obvious reason that Joshua and Caleb were confident that they could win the battle is as stated, because the Lord is with us. They understood that with the Lord on their side, they could eat these people alive. The children of Anak may have been tall in stature, but so what? They may have had a fierce countenance, but so what? Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So then, if God is for us, he is more than the whole world against us. The Anakites could have had a 1 million man army, but when God is on your side, one plus God is the majority. Joshua and Caleb also gave the people some spiritual insight by letting them know that the Lord had taken away their defense. In other words, the Lord had handed these people over to Israel as a defeated foe. How can you win a battle with no defense? That is why Caleb said, "We are well able to overcome it. We got this." But instead of listening to the two wise men that trusted and had faith in God, they believed the 10 who doubted God. The Bible says, upon hearing the evil report, the entire congregation lifted up their voices and cried and wept that night. And then they conspired to stone Joshua and Caleb with stones. Now, when I read this particular chapter in the Bible, for me, it's always an SMH moment, you know, shaking my head, because this was the first generation of believers. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20, that the Lord had taken them and brought them forth out of an iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance. Understandably, when the Lord first called them out and separated them to be a nation, they had no knowledge as to what manner of God this is. So the Lord proved himself through many signs and wonders that he performed in the days of Pharaoh, and they witnessed the power of God on a scale that some of us would even dare to imagine. Who do you know that could divide a sea and cause the water to stand up like walls on each side so that his people could pass through the midst of the sea on dry land? This he did for Israel when they were being pursued by Pharaoh's army, and they were stuck between a rock and a hard place, in a manner of speaking. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And then the Lord destroyed their enemies in epic fashion right before their eyes. When the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, the Lord told Moses to stretch forth his hand over the sea. And when he did, the sea returned to its strength. The Bible says, "And the water covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh who came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." This he did to prove that he was on their side and that he would never leave them, forsake them, or allow the enemy to have the advantage over them. It is common for the Lord to prove himself to those that he has called into discipleship, that they might have a strong and steadfast assurance that the God that they serve is God. How can you follow someone that you don't trust? How can you have faith in a God that you, when you do not believe what he says? How can you say that you love God, and every time your back is against the wall, instead of having faith that the Lord will bring you out, you allow the spirit of fear to take over? 1 John 4:18 declares, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." When your love is perfect, you will be able to rest in God and not be tormented in your mind by whatever is against you. The enemy of faith is fear. Because the spirit of fear is what causes people to deny the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear will have you walking around feeling hopeless and helpless. And when you are called by his name, it is insulting to the one that has proved himself to you time and time again. You cannot say that you have faith in God but deny his power. How can he be separated from his power? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So in order to please God, you must believe in his existence and also his capabilities. The Lord said, "I am that I am." He will be whatever you need him to be. And he wants somebody to know today that I am your mind regulator. I am your habit breaker. I am your soul savior. I am a way maker who can make a way when you can't see a way. He's saying to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All you've got to do is to believe that I am. Praise God. Many of us have gone through many trials and tribulations in our life, but it wasn't for the breaking, it was for the making. The Lord used the trial, you know, these trials, excuse me, or hardships that you went through as stepping stones to build you up in your most holy faith, so that in the day of adversity, you will not be moved, because you will have an assurance that if God brought you out before, he will do it again. So in our lesson text, there was absolutely no reason for Israel to fear the inhabitants of Canaan. After witnessing the wonders of God, there was no reason to even burn a brain cell as to whether or not he would fight for them. He had already proved that his power is incontestable, his might is unquestionable, and his sovereignty is irrefutable. He was the same God that had been with them up until that point, and his power had not changed, nor had it diminished. The Lord did not bring them that far to leave them. The only thing that he wanted them to do is to believe. And this was their opportunity to seize the moment, but they blew their chances when they started looking at what they were up against through a natural eye instead of trusting in what God said. Their focus was on the giants that were in the land instead of the greatness of God. Once you lose sight of who God is, the enemy can surely defeat you. When you are in spiritual warfare, you should never allow your focus to shift from the greatness of God to the greatness of your circumstances. The enemy is a master manipulator, and if you let him get into your head, he will have you think that your situation is so great that there is no way for you to overcome it. He will take a small thing and magnify it into a big thing, in so much that you begin to believe that your situation is bigger than God. But I'm here to let you know that there is nobody greater than God. Psalms 145 and 3 declares, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He's greater than the highest mountain." Who do you think created Mount Everest? And wherein man looks up to mountains, our God looks down on them. Amen. You may see obstacles as mountains in your way, but when you ask God, he'll say, "What mountain?" The children of Anak were obstacles that the people would have been able to overcome, but they believed in their heart that they could not go up against the Canaanites because they were stronger. Amen. So guess what? The Lord went no further than what they believed. If we consider the response that Jesus gave to certain people when they approached him for some type of healing or deliverance, he would ask them, "Do you believe?" And those who said, "Yes, Lord, I believe," he would say to them, "According to your faith, so be it." So whatever petition that you put before God, if you believe that he can do it, the response is still the same. According to your faith, so be it. If your expectations are high concerning God, he will perform at the highest level. But if your expectations are low, he will not go beyond what you believe. When we assess what happened at the border of Canaan, it was doubt and unbelief that killed the move of faith. Yes, with the natural eye, the Anakites were taller, and in comparison, the Israelites were shorter in stature. But they were not insufficient because God was on their side. It is obvious that they were looking at the wrong thing. Likewise, there are people who never reach their fullest potential because they are looking at the wrong thing. All they ever see is their insufficiency, which begins to stimulate ideas that they are unable to achieve. By example, when the Lord appointed Moses as his spokesman, Moses had a speech impediment. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, that Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" The Lord said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." But Moses did not believe that God could help him to overcome his speech issue. So he asked the Lord to send someone else instead. The scripture says that the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses, so he elevated Aaron, the brother of Moses, to work alongside of him in ministry and to be the spokesman unto the people. Now, Aaron may have been a better speaker than Moses, but initially, he was not God's choice. People of God, sometimes the Lord chooses certain people because it gives him an opportunity to show off, if you will. As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, have God chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For God to take someone with a stammering tongue and have him speak with power and authority in the presence of the people, it would have been an opportunity for God to be glorified." Sometimes, like Moses, you might feel like you're not qualified for certain positions and begin to make excuses like not being educated enough, or not being having the right skills, or that you have a criminal record that has haunted you for years. But I'm here to let you know that the only thing that you need to accomplish anything in life is God's favor. The Lord has people right now sitting in positions that they should not have based on corporate standards. And you know what? He looked over some people with a degree and gave his people jobs that they shouldn't even have. And I want to encourage you to not be intimidated or fearful. If you want to expand your horizons, trust God and believe that he will make a way. When he opens the doors of opportunity for you, it will be in such a way that no one can be given the credit except God. The Lord does not want us to trust in what we see. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In essence, faith demonstrates to the mind the things that cannot be seen with the natural eye. Whatever the Lord speaks to you or whatever he has promised you, faith dictates that you don't have to see it to believe it. But if you believe it, God will show it to you and bring it to pass. There is nobody that has a resume like God. Nowhere in the Bible will you find an instance where God failed to meet the expectation of those who put their trust in him. David wrote in Psalms 25:3, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. In him there is no failure." And when you put your trust in the Lord, he will never let you down. He will never leave you feeling foolish. He will never let your enemies triumph over you. And he will always be true to his word. Amen. All you got to do, people of God, is have faith. In conclusion, that particular generation of people who were at Kadesh Barnea messed up royally. The Lord did all that he could to make believers out of them, but they didn't get it. And it seemed like they weren't even trying to get it. They provoked God to anger because of their unbelief. And he determined that only two people would see the promised land out of that whole generation. And that was Joshua and Caleb. The rest he caused to wander in the wilderness 40 years. Until that generation died out. People of God, no matter what trial you are in, fear not. The Lord is with you. It does not matter what it looks like or how things seem. God did not bring you this far to leave you. When the Lord says he's got your back, he's got it. And whatever he has promised to do for you, he will do just what he said. Sometimes you feel like you're up against so many giants because your problems might be bigger than you are. But never fail to remember that there is nobody greater than our God. You must have faith. Unbelief will leave you at a loss. It will leave you feeling weary, wounded, and sad. When you do not trust the Lord to the point of allowing him to control every aspect of your life, you will end up losing a lot of sleep at night. Why? Because you don't trust that his power can bring you through. You don't trust in his ability to perform. And God, the whole time, is saying to you, "I'm here. I'm right here. I have been here all the time." Finally, I leave you with this. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." May God bless you and heaven smile upon you. Amen and amen.